Workers on the front lines of the pandemic often face risks just for showing up to work, whether that means caring for those who've contracted COVID-19 or ringing up groceries. And a New York Times analysis found that one in three jobs held by women has been designated as essential, and that women of color are more likely to be doing essential jobs than anyone else. Here to talk about this is Sharmili Majmudar. She's the Executive Vice President of Policy and Organizational Impact for Women Employed, an organization that advocates equity for women in the workplace. Sharmili, welcome to the 21st.
Thank you so much for having me, Brian.
So what was your reaction to hearing about these statistics that I just cited?
I mean, these statistics are the reality that Women Employed has been aware of and advocating on behalf of since our inception. The fact that women are overrepresented in minimum wage, low wage work, and that much of that work is in the service industry of all kinds, and that work is essential. It's not just essential during a pandemic, but it's essential to our society and economy, and yet they're not treated as essential.
And that's what I wanted to ask you next, because I mean, this term it's not a term that I think a lot of us heard before the pandemic, this idea of essential jobs, but we're talking about nurses, home health aides, retail workers, and that a majority of these are held by women, and women of color are more likely to be doing these jobs. But are we paying the people who do these jobs like they're essential employees?
The simple answer is no. I think that with all of the call for treating these workers as heroes, the accolades that many of us have participated in on social media or in our communities, those are all deserving for these workers. But in reality, what these heroes need are livable wages, benefits, and protections, not just capes and accolades. If we truly think that essential workers are heroes, then we do have to show it by protecting them, by how we treat them, and how we compensate them. And, you know, I think one of the key ways that we can look at that in Illinois and in our nation is whether we do something as simple as providing paid sick leave. This is an issue that Women Employed has advocated on behalf of for many years. There is active legislation in front of the Illinois General Assembly that we're hoping they'll move on. And we've been collecting, you know, the input of Illinois folks from downstate, central Illinois, from Chicago, et cetera, who are overwhelmingly in favor of making sure that all workers have access to paid sick leave. But these essential workers that we're talking about are actually least likely to have access to paid sick leave. And I think, you know, as our understanding of pandemics and public health and all of that has evolved, we can really see, like, I want to make sure that my grocery store clerk has access to paid sick leave and is not put in a position where she has to decide between whether or not to put food on the table for her children or potentially go to work sick or not be able to take care of a sick elder or someone else at home, including herself. And so I think there's common sense policy that we can do that really benefits everyone that mm-hmm. would truly honor how essential these workers are.
So your organization connects with working women to understand some of what they're facing in the workplace. What have you been hearing from people since the COVID-19 pandemic started?
Well, a lot of the people who have lost jobs are women. So I think we really have to understand that for women of color in particular, they're more likely to be primary or sole breadwinners for their families. So obviously this is hitting them very hard. But as you noted, the professions that a lot of these workers are in are face-to-face professions. They are not professions that can be done from home. And so people are really concerned about the risks that they're taking, the risks that they're taking for themselves, the risks that then, you know, they're taking for their families. And these workers are also proud of the work that they're doing. They understand that it is contributing to our society's health and well-being and our ability to kind of continue functioning. during this pandemic, and they just want to be taken care of, in the way that they are trying to take care of us.
So after the pandemic is over, you mentioned a little bit about some of the policy changes that you would like to see people advocate for. I wonder, what are some of the other solutions that you've seen maybe used elsewhere to help address some of these inequalities when it comes to women working in these essential jobs? And we have just about a minute and a half left here.
Sure. I mean, ultimately, I think as we emerge from this crisis, it's really an opportunity for us to evolve and build an inclusive economy that values the workers' well-being as well as society's well-being. And that includes everything from paid sick leave, to paid family medical leave, to ensuring that there are livable wages, but also ensuring that we have access to education and training, because a lot of people will have lost their jobs and are going to be re-entering the workforce and are going to need to make sure that they have access to skill building and educational opportunities. And we need to make sure the infrastructure to provide that is really strong as well. So there's lots of opportunities. There's a national coalition of organizations that is really focused around asking Congress, for example, to think about how women are bearing the brunt of the crisis and all of the things that we can do. It's called the We Demand More Coalition that Women Employed is part of. But overall, we want to see Illinois kind of like move through this. As you were talking about in the earlier segment, we've had three stay-at-home orders. What we do next is going to be really important on behalf of the workers who are most affected by this crisis, but on behalf of all of us. And we should really use that as an opportunity to not return to the status quo, but to do better.
Sharmili Majmudar is the Executive Vice President of Policy and Organizational Impact for Women Employed, an organization that advocates equity for women in the workforce. Sharmili, thanks so much for speaking with us today on the 21st.
It was my pleasure. Thank you so much, Brian.
Coming up after the break, although some states have embraced antibody testing as a way to figure out who might already have COVID-19, there are still reasons to be cautious about the new technology. I'm Brian Mackey. More on that after this short break. Stay tuned. You're listening to The 21st.
The 21st is made possible in part by Busey. For 150 years, Busey has helped business owners and entrepreneurs navigate financial decisions, achieve long-term goals, and realize dreams of success. Busey, fulfilling dreams since 1868.